I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning. KSL News time is 8:30.
KSL's top story this hour.
The investigation continues this morning into the shooter who murdered 19 children inside an elementary school in Texas.
His family says they did not notice any signs he was planning an attack. ABC News correspondent Matt Gutman begins our team coverage from Uvalde.
The mother of the gunman telling ABC News she had uneasy feelings sometimes about her son, saying he can be aggressive if he got really mad. The shooter's grandfather telling me he had no idea his grandson, who had stopped going to school, had built up that small arsenal.
I didn't know he had weapons or nothing or this or that there. If I would have known, I would have reported him.
You would have reported your own grandson?
Yes.
We're also hearing for the first time from the father of a student who was killed in that Uvalde school shooting.
Angel Garza spoke live to CNN, saying his daughter was trying to call police during the shooting in an attempt to help her classmates. A warning, this interview demonstrates the raw emotion these families are dealing with following this tragedy.
She just turned 10. Her birthday was on the 10th, May the 10th, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. You had a party for her.
We just gathered a family and had a dinner. She just got her phone. She had been wanting her phone for so long, and we finally got it for her. She just tried to call the police.
She actually tried to call.
Yes, I got confirmation from two of the students in her classroom that she was just trying to call authorities, and I guess he just shot her. How do you look at this girl and shoot her? Oh, my baby. How do you shoot my baby? Oh, I'm sorry.
Of course. How's your wife?
I just want to ask everybody to just keep my wife in their prayers. Amory had the best mother. She did everything she could for her daughter, and she's just beating herself up so bad about this. And maybe it's not your fault, I promise. She just wants you to be happy.
Is there anything else you want people to know about Amory?
I just want people to know that she just died trying to save her classmates. She just wanted to save everyone.
That was so hard to listen to.
Again, that's Angel Garza, who lost his daughter in the Uvalde school shooting. The president of the Utah Education Association says she can't believe a school shooting incident has happened yet again. KSL News Radio's Dan Bama says Heidi Matthews' biggest concern is that nothing is going to change following the shootings in Texas.
After 30 years as an educator and 6 as president of UEA, Heidi Matthews told KSL-TV's Lad Egan, "We can't keep sending the same message."
This pattern of massacre followed by grief, followed by, you know, calls to action, followed by nothing.
Matthews served on the Utah Safe Schools Commission, which was set up after the high school shootings in Parkland, Florida. And while its recommendations had some impact on access to schools, Matthews says more work needs to be done to address mental health issues and access to guns. Dan Bamas, KSL News Radio.
A lot of people are wondering if there's anything they can do to help the families in Texas.
I work at the Red Cross, and I had people coming in last minute just being like, I don't know if you saw what was going on the news, but I just wanted to feel like I could contribute something.
Courtney Myers tells KSL-TV hospitals in Texas are asking for blood donations. There are also groups taking financial donations for the families of the victims, as well as money for mental health professionals and attorneys to help deal with the aftermath.
First look traffic. We go back to Andy Farnsworth.
And right now, if you're taking I-15, then it's good everywhere except for one little stretch southbound going from 2300 north down towards 600 north in Salt Lake City. All our earlier delays going south in Kaysville, north in Murray and Midvale are gone. Highway 89, construction again this morning. A problem for northbound traffic from SR 193 to I-84. And I-84 still closed for eastbounders from Morgan to Hennifer. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time, 8:35.
Utah's housing crisis is impacting all of us, and Governor Spencer Cox says a rise in short-term housing rentals is making the problem worse. KSL News Radio's Mark Jackson joins us live with the story, Mark.
Well, Amanda, the recent trend, rather, where properties are being developed into Airbnb rentals keeps families from first-time purchasing affordable housing, according to the governor, especially in smaller towns with affordable housing and in areas with tourism draws.
That's really chewing up housing stock in areas where we desperately need it.
Speaking to the Bipartisan Policy Center this week, he says the nearly 20,000 properties now listed as short-term rentals basically, in his words, take houses, then turn them into hotels. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
We are celebrating KSL News Radio's 100th birthday by highlighting communities around the Wasatch Front, and today we're looking at the southern half of Utah County.
Tim and I are here in Spanish Fork this morning, and Utah is home to more than 100 ghost towns, most of them with ties to the state's mining past. But one of the most famous is in Utah County, within line of sight from Highway 6 in Spanish Fork Canyon. KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce reports.
Thistle's decline started long before a landslide finished the town off and forced the remaining residents to evacuate to Birdseye. The change from steam to diesel diminished its importance as a maintenance stop on the railroad, and the passenger depot and post office closed in the 70s.
Heavier than normal rain and snow in 1982, followed by a fast snow melt in 83, did the rest. You can still see partially flooded homes and other structures from a pullout overlook on US 6.
BYU is diving into research on how we can better manage our water resources. The university is part of a group of 15 schools who are sharing $360 million worth of grants from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Dan Ames is a professor of civil and construction engineering at the Y.
The BYU Hydroinformatics Lab is taking the lead on both global and national level streamflow forecasting.
Ames says they're making these water forecasts accessible to people in all types of areas, including agriculture and recreation.
Another check on traffic.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.